And you showed up anyhow.
Yes, sir.
He's a mighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, what a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, when I think about the goodness of the Lord, how he brought me from a mighty long way, how he picked me up, how he fed me and clothed me, how he spoke to me when my friends didn't want to have nothing to do with me. God was right there. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. What a mighty God. Father, we thank you right now. And even, Lord, in our reflective moments, we know and do declare that saying thank you just doesn't seem like enough. But, Lord, we do thank you. And, Lord, we know that you are awesome. What a mighty God, a strong deliverer, a warrior king. When our enemies had encamped round about us, Lord, you came in like a flood. And you scooped us up and made everything better. And God, we want to know again what you are saying to the church. And so, Lord, still us now. We'll hear your voice with clarity, gain some understanding. Lord, walk with us again. A song grandmother used to sing that simply said, you walk with us and talk with us, meeting us in narrow places. And so, God, walk with us again. We need your gospel. Lord, lead and guide us into all manner of truth. Set us on a rock above every situation, every circumstance, trial. Lord, I don't want to live defeated anymore. I want to be a conqueror. I want to be a winner. And Lord, I know you can do that for me. And Lord, when you have done those few things, Lord, make me careful not to forget that I can tell the dying world about the risen Christ. For Lord, if it had not been you, I'd have been gone a long time ago. And I want somebody to know that I love you. Not just because you love me, but Lord, I just love you because of who you are. And oh God, let our love be something that the world desires to know. And God, I pray that you'll bless me in the moment of preaching. And God, again, forgive me of my sins and have mercy. People have gathered in their tent doors and they're waiting. Now, Lord, speak to us. Oh God, bless this day. The redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. Come on, let's bless the Lord together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Before you take your seat, grab your Bibles. Meet me at Psalm 71. Psalm 71 in the Old Testament of the Bible. You get to Job, hit the brakes. You find yourself in Proverbs, put it in reverse. If you got your tablet, you can go right there. You're still carrying your old school Bible. You're not really sure where the book of Psalms are. Go to the table of contents, and you'll get there very quickly. Psalm 71. Psalm 71. Amen. I see glowing faces, so that means some of y'all got smartphones. Either that or you work in a nuclear plant. Amen. And I hear old pages turning. That's old school Bible. Amen. Amen. Psalm 71. Well, you don't have your Bible with you today because it didn't match your outfit. We got some right there in front of you. Grab one of those. Yeah, New Living Translation. That's our preferred reading, our New Living Translation. I'm looking out. I see we still got a few King James Bibles in our pews. I don't know how that happened. We'll make sure we spread out all our New Living Translation. That's pastor's preferred version. And I want you reading something saying, wait a minute, that's not in my book. So we're going to make sure we get all of our New Living Translation Bibles in position. Amen. Psalm 71, everybody there? I'm not going to read all of it, but I'm going to preach every bit of it I can. But I want to read, lift up in your hearing, verse 14, 15, and 16. Amen. Psalm 71, not chapters, but Psalm 71. Five books in the book of Psalms, Psalm 71. And it says this from the New Living Translation, but I will keep on hoping for you to help me. I will praise you more and more. I will tell everyone about your righteousness. All day long, I will proclaim your saving power, for I am overwhelmed by how much you have done for me. I will praise your mighty deeds, O sovereign Lord. I will tell everyone that you alone are just and good. Amen. Look at your name and say, neighbor, pastor's going to preach when hurt meets help. Amen. When hurt meets help. Amen. God bless you, ushers. You may rest. Thank you so much. Amen. Choir, bless you. Thank you. Beautiful ministry of music today. Thank you so much. Throwing some new stuff in there. Amen. And so we thank you so much. God bless you. You may certainly all be seated in the presence of God. Amen. Let everybody get comfortable. Amen. When I was a child down south where Sister Laura and I grew up, that area, those provinces and communities, ghettos, if you will, they were riddled with sayings. There were always sayings. Somebody always had a saying. And growing up as a child in the South, you learn to live based on sayings. You don't really know where they come from, but you hear them over and over again, and you begin to think it's gospel. One of the sayings that I grew up with as a child and later found to be contradictory was when people say, well, you know, the Lord say if you make one step, he'll make two. And that's just not biblical. It's not sound. It sounds good. And everybody would say that. Everybody would say, well, you know, the Lord say. But that ain't what the Lord said. But then also growing up, your senior representatives, they say things that, though they may not necessarily be doctrine, they make for good discipline. They also help you to understand life. Life is cyclic at times. They say things like you have to learn how to take the bitter with the sweet. Amen. They tell us we have to learn to take the good with the bad. That it will sometimes rain on your parade. Amen. And so you hear stuff like that, and you begin to formulate what becomes your constitution, what becomes the measure of your life and quality of life. Some things being timely said can get you through a moment. Things like, you know, in the midst of a bad situation, some of the old folk would say stuff like, baby, this too will pass. Your reply often to them is, I'll be glad when it's over. Amen. I realized growing up that those people were trying to help me. They would say things, and again, they could be timely. Again, when it rains, it pours. What does that really mean? When it rains, it pours. You ever thought about that? What does that really mean? Have you ever bought a can of Morton salt, and you looked at the Morton salt? I thought that's where they got that from. Anybody, y'all know the more people bought Morton salt. It's on the little salt box. Little girl with the umbrella, you know, the raincoat, and she going home from the store. She gonna get a whooping when she get home. Cause when she get home and ain't no salt in that thing, Oh, yeah, Mama going to have something to say about that. But the Morton Salt Company wants us to know that their salt does not get sticky. It doesn't clump together. Anybody ever had that experience with salt know that clumpy salt ain't no good. Amen. Much of y'all ain't got no business eating no salt. But when it rains, it pours. What does that mean? What does it mean when it rains, it pours? And then there's this one. This is the one that all of us have heard. I know we've heard it, and it has meant various and sundry things to all of us. But here it is. If it ain't one thing, see how y'all church folk is. What does that mean? If it ain't one thing, then it's another. Whenever something happened down south where I grew up at, you would always hear someone as a declaration that I ain't quitting. They would say, well, if it ain't one thing, it's another. And then if it ain't one thing, had a first cousin. First cousin of that one is, it's always something. Always something. Look at your neighbor and say, yeah. Always something. They come in reverse order sometimes. Somebody would say, there's always something. Then somebody says, well, if it ain't one thing. You know, they were first cousins. Any of y'all got a first cousin? Then why y'all act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about? You know them first cousins that when you see one, you see the other? They wear the same shoes and same clothes and all that kind of stuff. They breath smell the same. No, okay. First cousin. It is interesting to note that when you're young, how those things just kind of go by you. When I grew up down south, I was young and carefree, Donna. I didn't have to care about anything. Most of us, when we grew up, we're totally ignorant as to how difficult life really is. We don't know no better. I mean, come on, let's be honest. We're living on somebody else's money, living in somebody else's house. We don't pay no rent. We eat groceries we don't pay for. We leave lights on, leave the water running, stand there holding the refrigerator open because we ain't got to pay for nothing. We wear clothes that we had the audacity to go shopping and pick out and walk away from the pay counter. We wear out stuff. We lose stuff. Anybody ever lost something and you go home and try to explain to your mama that you lost it and you try to blame, instead of saying you lost it, you say somebody, y'all look crooks. Somebody stole it. You can't say that you lost it, but you know if you say somebody stole it, you get sympathy. So you say somebody stole it. But we live like that. We have no concern about the effects of life because it does not bother us. Most of us have now come to maturity and look back on life and did not realize how hard it was for our parents. We don't realize. We never realized. We never thought about the fact that the lights were this close to being turned off. We never thought about the fact that the grocery that we eat and then say, I don't like that and I don't want that, and threw in the garbage can came at a sacrifice. Never thought about the fact that in most cases the month was too long and mom and daddy money was too short. We jumped in the car and rode and never bought gas. Didn't think the tires were wearing out. Didn't realize that old clunker was on his last leg. We just didn't worry about nothing. Slept in beds and rode on sheets that we didn't iron. Y'all remember ironing sheets? Anybody iron sheets anymore? Nobody do that, do they? Lazy rascals. That's why y'all ain't sleeping good. Y'all gonna iron them sheets. My mother ironed sheets. I never figured that out. I never did. Still don't. That's like men who go to the dry cleaner and get their shirts put in boxes. Why would you get your shirt pressed and then have them folded up, put it in a box? And then you take it out, you gotta iron it again. No, let them put it on a hanger. Okay, y'all men don't even get y'all shirts clean. My mom and them had an iron sheet, and that was a ritual. You remember when they iron sheet? It was like all the old ladies, and everybody was old then. Everybody was old. They would sit around with them little spray bottles and their little cigarette hanging out their mouth. Everybody smoked back then. Everybody smoked. Salem, Benson Hedges, them old long cigarettes. Be sitting there, I'm going to iron these sheets, and psh, 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 you know. Slept good then, though, didn't we? That's why mama said, if you don't get your dirty self off my sheets. But they did stuff we didn't know. We thought that's how it's supposed to be. Wake up in the morning smelling bacon and eggs and a good pot of grits, toast. You had the nerve to sit there and tell me, is it time to eat yet? You ain't bought nothing, but you didn't care. You just enjoyed life. But then you got older. And the tables start turning. Now you got to go to the grocery store. Now you got to talk to AEP and Verizon. Your car broke down. You're the one now saying, if y'all don't close that refrigerator, I'll tell you what. What does I tell you what mean? Anybody know that one? No. And so the reality is, y'all going to preach too, we're going to be here all day long. The reality is, the writer says, Lord, I'm trusting you. You read the first part of the psalm, he calls God his refuge. And then he says something that is interesting to me. He says, Lord, don't let me be disgraced. I think it has something to do with his constitutional agreement with God. How many of you have ever promised God that you're going to be faithful? You're going to honor him and represent his name, but you got hurt. Hurt has a way of changing us. Hurt has a way of causing us to forget our constitutional agreements with God. You can say what you want, and you can feel how you want about it, but I really believe that hurt is a game changer. Nobody wants to be hurt. I stayed up late at night when I was a kid. I told y'all this before, and I'll tell you again. I'm almost finished, so we can go down the road. Y'all ain't gonna believe it. But I stayed up late at night. My grandmother told me, Audrey, that I was borderline nosy. Well, I crossed that border a long time ago. But I stayed up late at night, and I'll tell you why. Because my mother would stay up at night. And Deacon Anderson, it is in the course of staying up late that I know what hurt sounds like. I heard my mother pray and cry. I heard her cry and laugh. I heard her talk and then moan. Then I heard her sing and cry. Late at night, when everybody else had gone to sleep, I would listen for my mother. My father, God rest him, didn't come home a lot of nights. Hung out gambling and, as they say down South Laurel, running the streets. But my mama stayed up at night. And I listened to her. My brothers and sisters, they had no idea. I was clued into all of the struggles of 1231 and a half Sparing Street. And we moved into another house, and mama still cried and prayed and moaned and laughed. She was hurt, but she knew she had help. Mama always counted on God. I would hear her say things like, Lord, you're going to have to do something. She'd say things to God, and she talked to God right freely, And God never seemed to get mad at her. She said things like, Lord, if you don't come through, I don't know what I'm going to do. And she'd remind God that she'd been waiting a while. And she'd sing some more and cry some more and laugh. I heard my mother laugh, harmony, and I really got worried about mama. Because sometimes she'd go from one extreme to the other. She'd go from crying and praying, then she just started laughing. And more than once, twice, I couldn't help it. I'd get up and walk down that little narrow hallway and tap on the door, and mama would say the same thing all the time. Boy, what you doing up this time of night? I didn't know how to tell her that I was with her, that I was journeying with her through crying and laughing and moaning and talking to God. I stayed up late at night. And staying up late at night is where I met Psalm 34. I met Psalm 34. And you don't know what it says, so you can stay up late. It said, the Lord hears his people when they call to him for help and rescues them from all of their troubles. I met Psalm 34, staying up late at night. You know what I learned in Psalm 34? I learned that the Lord not only listens, but he lifts. Y'all ain't talking to me. I want to ensure you tonight, this afternoon rather, I want to ensure you that the God of your salvation is listening. We've had some rough weeks, haven't we? Our families down in Texas, Louisiana, and Florida have met Harvey and Irma. I've got some bad news. I understand that Harvey and Irma met in a little restaurant yesterday and decided to get married and going to have some children. Okay, y'all ain't got no sense of humor. But it's been hard on those folk down there. If you watch CNN, if you watch the Weather Channel, they've lost everything. Any of y'all ever been in that place where you felt like you lost everything? Ever been in that place where you found that what you thought was a lot wasn't much at all? It's been hard, hadn't it? And folk are hurting right now. And the Bible says that when your neighbor is hurting, don't tell your neighbor, I'll bless you tomorrow, but bless them now. Okay, y'all didn't get that. Don't keep saying, well, I'm going to get some water or I'm going to buy some baby formula. Or, I'm gonna buy. No, do it now. Because folk are hurting. They are homeless. Folk who had nice houses, they didn't miss a house payment. They didn't lose their job. A storm came and took everything they had. They didn't call for the rain. You remember when Katrina came, the joke was that it was Paul Morton's fault that Louisiana got flooded because he made that song, Rain. And that was the preacher's joke, that Paul Morton brought the Katrina. But the reality for us is they're hurting. And those folk that are hurting and those of us who have been hurting know that the only remedy for hurt is to meet your help. How many know God is a very present help? Yeah, God will do it, won't he? Look at the name and say, he'll do it. Yeah, he'll do it. He'll show up. But not only does he listen to us, but he'll lift us. Amen. That old song we sang in the church that said, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. When you are hurting, you need some help. You don't need people to wish you well. You don't need people to tell you what they're going to do later on. You need some help. And God will help you. Lord has been my help. All of my life, God has helped me. How many remember a time now in reflection when God was helping you and you didn't even realize he was helping you? Amen. How many remember when God was bringing you out and you thought you'd never get out? When God was fixing what you thought would always be broken? When God was healing what you thought would always be sick? But you can tell somebody that my God is able to do anything. We're hurt sometimes. Sometimes life just ain't fair. Amen. All those people have lost their homes and cars and insurance company acting funny. They can walk out and mean no harm, but the insurance company sure can't act funny at most inopportune time. You know, you sitting there, and then they tell you, you don't have flood insurance. No kidding. Well, okay, but I still need a house. Oh, you got a car, and then you got insurance. They say, well, you're not covered for water damage. Like I was intending on buying a car and driving it in a lake at any point in my journey. But they need help, and they're hurting. Christian folk down there hurting. You know, somebody said it rains on the just and the unjust. Well, that's true, but they're hurting now. And this kind of hurt is going to last a long time. I met Psalm 34. There's another verse in Psalm 34 that I met that also reminds me. It said that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Anybody ever been brokenhearted? I know it brings back bad memories, y'all. Y'all going to have to do some therapy after this because he broke up with you and left you and she took your heart with her. I know they were right. It takes a fool to learn that Love don't love nobody. Amen. Look at them. I know that. Like y'all ain't ever been broken up. Amen. You've been hurt before. But the Bible says, I meant Psalm 34. The Bible says that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Amen. How many know that once you announce that you're brokenhearted, help is on the way? How many have ever camouflaged yourself past your own cure? You try to act like you all right, act like ain't nothing wrong, and you missing your medicine moment. Yeah, man, you got to let it be known that I'm not well. Yeah. Amen. You go to the doctor's office and the doctor says, what'd you come here for today? So I just came by doctor, get some of that free candy and give y'all $35. Doctor said, okay. If you don't tell him what's wrong, he can't help you. They go in and they do a little thing, you know, they put a little stethoscope on you and say, breathe in. How many of y'all ever have a problem when they try to get you that inhale, exhale, and you think you're going to lose your breath? Don't that mess up your breathing rhythm when they tell you, all right, take a deep breath. And then before you can hold it good, all right, take a deep breath. Wait a minute, I'm still working on the first one. I mean, I like to take my deep breaths and enjoy them, you know. And then, okay, give me another one. Well, I ain't got no air left because I'm still on that first one. Y'all ain't never had that problem. Thank you. Six of y'all is with me. And then he says, what'd you come in for today? And you have to tell him. You don't tell him you can't get no help. You want God to draw near unto you. You want to draw near unto God. You brokenhearted. Tell him, God, I'm hurting. I don't want to get out in the choir. I don't want to stop preaching. I don't want to not be a deacon. But I'm hurting right now. And I need you to come close. Remember that old song, come on and see about me. The Bible says God is close to the brokenhearted. But then it said this, that he rescues those who have been crushed in their spirit. You don't think it's crushing down there? It doesn't have to be down there. Some of us crushed right now. If I can ask you an honest question, some of us pressed our way to church today. We got that phone call. We got that text message. Or we just know that something ain't right somewhere. Some of y'all with those prophetic spirits know how to do that. You say something ain't right. I just feel it. You ever had that? The phone gonna ring, spirit. God said he will rescue those who are crushed in their spirits. I learned that about God. I learned three things. One is that he will always comfort us. Amen. God loves to put his arms around you. Anybody ever felt God's arms around you? Only two of y'all. I mean, have you ever felt God's arms around you? Knowing that he is a comforter in my crisis, in my calamities, God always shows up and makes a difference. Have you ever been in that situation where just the right person shows up in your calamity and it changes? It didn't take it away, but just because they're there, it makes a difference. That's why the Bible tells us to rejoice with them that rejoice and to mourn with those who mourn. Some of us just need somebody to show up. You ever been in that situation where it's your turn and you look across the room and your friend gives you that thumbs up? You feel a little better? You ever been sitting there and you cried and cried and finally that voice says, I'm here. It's not going to change a whole lot, but sure going to make it a little better. Then I learned also that not only does God comfort me in my calamities, but he's concerned about my condition. God wants me to be well. God wants you to be well. No matter what is happening in your life, your condition is a priority to God. He wants you to be of good spirit. He wants you to lift up your heads and be lifted up. He wants to come into your life and make you sing that new song. Remember that old song where you say, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Your condition is God's priority. Lift up your head. Come ye disconsolate. God is saying, listen, I'll give you back your joy. You remember David, when David was in the midst of a terrible time in his life, when he finally talked it over with the Lord and finally got some of his business cleared up, he said, Lord, give me back my joy. I just want to be happy. Anybody just want to be happy? Amen. 9 or 10 of y'all don't want to be happy. Either that or y'all left your voter registration ID card. I just want to be happy. God is concerned about your condition, and that's why he says, I will rescue you. I will heal you. I will restore you. I will be there for you. People will leave you. Remember, the writer said this, remember, he said, my mother and father forsake me. It's going to be the Lord that's going to take me up. Look at the name and say, I know you ain't going to stay the whole time. Amen. Look at another name and say, I know you're going to turn on me. Amen. Look at the one behind you and say, you ain't never been in it anyway. That's why they call them backstabbers. Lord said, listen, you're going to be all right. So I'm going to leave you alone here, but I need you to understand that there are two critical things to understand about hurt meeting help. Two things you can do for yourself that's going to help you to get to the merge point of where your hurt meets your help. Can I give them to you? They're right there in the text. The first thing he says, watch this now. He says, I will keep hoping for your help. Now watch this. Don't invest your expectation of help in the wrong person. Y'all missed the shout. Don't do it. Don't do it. He says, watch this. Now look at verse 14. He says, I will keep on hoping for your help. Let me see, Maxine, if I can help you. How many of y'all have ever put your hope in the wrong person? Somebody told you, well, if you ever need me, just call me. Here's another, Lord. What's mine is yours. If I got anything you need, just let me know. What they didn't tell you is they got caller ID. They didn't tell you that you can only ask for some things. Amen. They got 3 cars. Your car broke down. You called and said, listen, can I borrow one of your cars for a little while? Mine broke down. You ain't on my insurance. Child, that car been acting kind of funny. I don't even want to put you out there like that. You just saw him drive by. Put your hope in the wrong person. Brothers and sisters, moms and dads, sometimes folk let us down. But let me show you what to do now so your hurt can meet your help. Put your hope in God. Okay, 7 or 8 of y'all got that. Don't ever, listen, I got no problem. I got 2 or 3 friends right here right now. I know there are 2 or 3 people that if anything happened, I could probably start right there, but I ain't going to stop right there. Anyway, I know if I got into a situation, if I need a ride or something, I can call Deacon Davis. Deacon Davis is free most of the time. I did it once, twice. I took my car to the shop. I called Deacon Davis. He said, Pastor, you need something? I said, yeah, Deacon Davis, I need a ride. He said, well, yeah. Oh, Deacon Davis, come get me. No problem. I know if I'm hungry, I can call Dr. Dixon and say, hey, Wanda Gale, how you doing? And see, when I call her, hey, Wanda Gale, she know I want something. I say, hey, Wanda Gale, how you doing? She said, hey, Pastor. I can tell she done put her hip right. Hey, Pastor. I can see it on the phone. I can see it in my mind. I said, what are you doing for lunch? Pastor, you hungry? No, I'm not really hungry, but I just figure, you know, she said, come on by, Pastor. And she said, you know, Wanda do pretty good. She makes some good Spam sandwiches. You ever want a real good Spam? Y'all ain't know Spam. Look, Spam. Spam should be part of the Negro National Anthem. Fried Spam. Man, come on. Listen, when we get to heaven, there are 3 meats I know going to be in heaven. 3 meats I know going to be in heaven. 1, fried Spam, fried bologna, and chitlins. Now, see, some of y'all who don't eat chitlin, you're going to wonder why you ain't in heaven right there, right now. The Lord heard you rebuke one of the 3 meats. I can call Wanda and she can be. And then I know if I need money, if I ever need money, I'm not talking about no $20, $50. I'm talking about money. I can call Dick McKenzie. Dick McKenzie got the bank. You know that little Monopoly guy on the bar? That's Dick McKenzie. And the guy down, he got the top hat and everything. He take the beard off because that's part of his costume. But that is Starling McKenzie. Little Monopoly guy. See, y'all ain't got no friend like that. But I do know this. When I need the last ride I'm going to need, when I'm going to eat my last meal, and when my money ain't no more good, I know who to call. The Lord is my everything. He's more than money. He said, listen, all you got to do is sound my name, and I'll come and help you. He's a very present help. In other words, I don't know who made that song talking about waiting on the Lord, and he's on. No, God is always right there. Amen. God is so everywhere. He said, if you go to the west, I'm there. Go to the east, I'm there. Go north, I'm there. Go south, I'm there. And he's so bad to the bone, even if you fall into the pits of hell, I got you covered. Because he looked at it and said, we ain't going to stay down here long now. We got to get him down here. But God is my hope. So the writer says, I will keep hoping for your help. And then he said this, Deacon Anderson, and I get ready to go. He said, and I will praise you more and more. How many of y'all know that when you are in a situation, you need a song? I told y'all last Sunday, this is my story, this is my song. There are songs that have delivered us. And it was our song. And no, nobody may have understood why you sing that. But the writer says, watch this now. He says, I will shift into unlimited praise. See, some of y'all got situational praise. Got preach a little more. Some of y'all, you sing long as you happy. You sing long as you got a little money in your pocket. You know, you sing long as your credit card don't get rejected. You sing, you know, long, you got situational praise. Look at it and say, don't be like that. And then some of y'all have what I call sophomoric praise. Oh, yeah, when you on top and everything is good and you want to be seen by other folk, you just praising all over the church. When your cousin and them done come and some, you got little people in church, you go to the minister of music and say, I need to sing today. I just feel the Lord is heavy on my life. And you ain't telling them that your cousin them out there. And all you sing, then you march and sing. Come on, talk to me. Sophomoric praise. And folk are, oh, go on, sing, girl. And you be like, yeah. Sophomoric praise. And then some of y'all have what I call situational praise. Now, you say, wait a minute, Rip. No. It is. It's that, Lord, this is how we say it. Depend on how you feel, praise. Yeah. See, now, you think, well, that's the same. No, that ain't the same one. That's another one right there. Because you ain't the same all the time. See? And that old song we used to sing way back said, I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eyes on the sparrow. You didn't tell anybody you poked the sparrow in the eye. And you knocked him out the tree and all that. You remember that old song you sang, a yellow bird with a yellow bill was perched upon my window sill. I coaxed him in with bits of bread. Then I bashed the bird's head. Well, you know, the reality is, Aaron, it ain't always like this. You come back and try one more time. But I mean, you know, you have a God who's saying to you, listen, God has always told you, if you ever want to get my attention, prayer's good. Prayer's absolute. But you can just praise. See, let me tell you, some of y'all are better praisers than y'all are prayers. Can I say why? Because when the praise team is out here, oh, y'all is getting it in, y'all clapping and waving, but at prayer meeting, I can't get 10 people to show up. See how quiet they got right along through there? You don't mind doing this, but you don't want to do this. You don't want to cry. You don't want to tarry in your prayer. And so God is saying, listen, praise me. Watch what I'll do. Praise me. Bless me. And watch what I'll do. How many of you know that it is an absolute truth that when praises go up, oh, God, I wish I had some help. Praises. When you bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that is within me, God starts to do stuff. People won't understand you in the midst of your crisis. You are hurting, tore up from the flow up. You are broken in spirit. You are feeling some kind of way about stuff, and you singing. What's wrong with you? No, honey, I got to sing this song. I will bless the Lord. Notice what the writer said at all times. And then he says, if you got any sense at all, you will bless the Lord with me. He said, I want to praise him. So what do you do? What do you do, Pastor? First thing you do, if you want your hurt to meet up with your help, you got to learn how to wait and worship even when you wounded. Got to wait and worship even when you're wounded. What do you do? Okay, first thing is, you got to be patient. I'm about finished. I'm going now. You got to be patient. Some of y'all are impatient people. You want everything done right now. Amen. You don't even want to wait on your microwave. Amen. People at microwave company figured it out. That's why they put the popcorn button on there and the one dinner plate, two dinner plate, because y'all can't stand to wait. See, I ain't nobody looking at nobody right now, because everybody know I'm telling the truth. Y'all can't wait to leave. Then you can't wait to go. Then you can't, y'all just, the Lord is so confused that y'all are so impatient. Hurry up. No, take your time. Hurry up. No, that's too fast. What do you want from me? Well, be patient. Here's what Isaiah said. Y'all know it. This is an easy one right here. Aaron, here's what Isaiah said. They that wait. But notice who he say you're waiting on. Oh, got seven people. They that wait upon the Lord shall. That's what the writer said. The writer said, I'm going to put my hope in you because I know waiting on you will always come out for my benefit. When you wait on God, you will never go wrong.
Say, be patient.
Isaiah comes along and said, they that wait upon the Lord shall. Shall, what a shall. Shall opens the opportunity for any and everything. How many of you have put your version of shall in that scripture?
Wait.
Let me be patient. Always in a hurry. How many know people that are always in a hurry? Bouncing on the wall. Remember, slow down. Let it simmer. My grandmother, before she left this world, she said, don't want none of microwaves. My grandmother knew every terrible thing that could happen with a microwave. She knew all of the bad stuff. My grandmother was the microwave version of Wikipedia. She had all of the doom. Child, they say that thing. You know, old folk, Laura, you know, down south, whenever old folks start with this line, it's going back. Child, they say. My grandma said, child, they say that thing, give you warts and child. They say people, the skin breaking out. Yeah, warts, I don't know. It's my grandmama, not yours. Child, they say that folks' stomach is rotten from the inside out. Child, they say people foot falling off. Child, people hair falling out. Child, don't put that thing in my kitchen. Grandma did everything slow. She warmed the plate by putting some hot water in a pot, set the plate on top of the pot. Y'all ain't talking to me. Put the lid over the top and turn it on. That's how you warm a plate. And really, it was most effective. She said, no, I ain't in no hurry. I can wait on my food. Be patient. And then she told us when things were happening in our young lives, she said, you ain't no hurry. You ain't even live yet. What you worrying about? What bills you pay? You know, old folks start going down that line, you ain't going to win. What bills you pay? Where you working at? And then they throw this line in. You couldn't work on a pie train. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I really looked for that pie train once, twice. I figured, you know, they got sweet potato, apple. I'd work there. Anybody else know you can work on a pie train? If there's an ice cream car behind it, I'm good. She said, you got to be patient, baby. She said, honey, watch this. This other line they throw in. You got your whole life in front of you. And she was right. My grandmother had a way of making you sit down and let it all pass by you. And she'd come back. She said, sit right here till I get back. Here's the word, be still. And she'd leave you there for a while. And then she'd come back and she'd say this, Jasmine. She said, now, what changed? And you'd have to realize it. Because you swore it was going to kill you. You swore you were dying in the next 5 minutes. And she said, now what changed? She said, baby, be patient. She said, now get on back out there with the rest of them. And you did. Second thing you got to learn is to always, watch this, this is important, always maintain your composure. Be still. And know that I am. Be poised. Look at them and say, strike the pose. Now, grandmama, what they're really saying is this. Be poised. It's right in the scripture. Here it is. Moses told the people. Egyptians are bearing down on them. They're in trouble. Moses says, don't be afraid. Just stand still. And watch. Anybody know that a good watch is always to watch God? He said, just stand and watch the Lord deliver us today. He said, don't worry about it. He said, because them Egyptians that you see today, you won't see them no more after this. Nudge your neighbor and say, the best part of life comes after this. Y'all in mischief, shout right there. There are some things in life that you will never know the full measure of how wonderful it is until you have crossed over into after this. Songwriter said, there will be glory after this. There will be a praise after, look at your name, say, I'm going to get mine. After this, when the trial is over, when the heartaches have ceased, when the circumstances have changed, when my after this comes, there will be. I'm going to get my glory. But you got to be poised. How many of y'all done chewed off your fingernails? Pulled out your hair? Walked all night long? No, you got to go to work at 5:30. And 2 o'clock, you up there walking. You got to go on to bed. Got to be poised. Moses said, stand still. They ready to run. You going to kill us? He said, stop right there. How many of y'all have been told? Hey. Calm down. The Lord got this. Got to be poised. Got to be smooth. Mike Jackson made that song, Smooth Criminal. Y'all remember that video? Mike Jackson had a little white suit on, a little hat, and he was leaning and all that stuff. All right, y'all don't know Deacon Michael Jackson. Mike Jackson said, smooth criminal. And we was all with it. Annie, are you okay? Annie, are you okay? Are you okay? Annie, you been hit by pop, pop. You bought that. You like smooth criminal. Be poised. Tell your neighbor, go and get that lean. Now, if you fall over, you're on your own. We don't have no insurance for that. Then last thing, got to go. Last thing. Watch this. You got to wait, worship, even while you want. Last thing you got to learn how to do, and this is critical, is that you got to keep praising. See, listen, okay, 7, y'all. Here it is. Psalm writer said this in Psalm 9. You want to turn to it? I know it's true. He said, I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart, and I will tell of the marvelous things you've done, and I will be filled with joy because of you, and I will sing praises to your name. Here's the answer. You got to learn how to pray about your problem, but sing praises to his name. Y'all missed it. Yeah, you got a problem, but the praise belongs in his name. Why? He said, because you can ask anything in my name. That's why they made that song, Milton, say there's something about that name. There's something about the name Jesus. There's something about when you say his name, everything starts changing. When you say Jesus, it starts changing. Y'all, I know y'all move here. I'm going harmony. We be ready. But y'all remember the movie Beetlejuice? Remember what happened in Beetlejuice? If you say his name 3 times, he'll show up. Y'all missed the shout right there. If you say Beetlejuice's name 3 times, he'll show up. Y'all still didn't see it. If Beetlejuice, with his ugly, crazy self, can show up when you call his name, how soon and very soon, how quick, fast, and in a hurry, how right on time, God, much do you think your God is when you call his name? Beetlejuice can't outrun your God. Beetlejuice can't fix what your God can fix. Beetlejuice can't change what your God can change. There is something about that name. I love to call his name. I love to sing his praise, because in the name of Jesus, every situation, every circumstance, every trial, there's something about that name. And writer said, I'll just keep praising. I'll just keep singing. I'll just keep praising it. I'll just keep singing. I'll just keep praising. I'll just keep singing. Yep, I'm hurting, but I'm still going to praise him. Yep, I'm broke, but I'm still going to praise him. Yep, I'm lost, but I'll just bless the Lord. I'm just going to praise him. Here's why. Job comes along, Wanda. This is what Job says. Job says he has done great and marvelous thing. Neighbor, the God I serve is bad to the bone. He shows up and shows out. He fixes stuff. He hides me from stuff. He don't let my enemies get the best of me. When I was lost, he came and got me. Great and marvelous. Then he says, I don't want to be outdone, but the songwriter comes along and said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Look at the name and say, neighbor, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How do you know he's good? I tried him for myself. I found out that in the midst of my trials and tribulation, I could taste and see. I found out when I was sinking deep in sin, didn't think I'd rise anymore, I could taste and see. I found out when my friends forsook me and lied on me, I could taste and see. When I couldn't pay my bills, when I didn't have no job, when I didn't have no house, when I didn't have no car, I could still taste and see. And the Lord was good. God is a good God. He says, if you just want to see me do something, just call me. How many know God will show up and show out? You want to see me do something, next time you have a cookout, just have a couple of fish and some bread and watch what I do. You want to see me do something? Get sick in your body and let the doctors walk away from you. Call me and see when I show out, when I show up. You wanna know I'm bad to the bone? Let somebody in your family die. Watch me interrupt the funeral procession. Because I can do something. Nudge your neighbor one more time. Say, neighbor, he'll do something. No, y'all got fancy. I just heard that come back to me. Sister Scott, they got fancy. I said, tell your neighbor he'll do something. Some of y'all, with y'all educated, said, he'll do something. Ain't what I said. No, our God is a something God. S-U-M-T-N-G. Something. Amen. God is so wonderful. But your hurt is going to meet your help. Not only does he listen, but he lives. He comforts you in your calamities. He's concerned about your condition. But you got to wait, worship, even when you're wounded. So what do you do? You got to stay patient. Just hold on a little while longer. You got to also remember to be poised. Maintain your composure. Amen. There's that movie, Idlewild. Y'all saw Idlewild? When old big bootlegger, shine running guy that run a little juke joint, old boy got smart with him. He said, mind your conduct. Y'all act like y'all don't see movies. See, y'all don't spend all y'all time at Bible study. Y'all done been to the Regency Theater over there. But you know, you got to maintain your composure. How many of y'all ever had somebody look at you and say, who you think you talking to? That's a composure check. You better straighten up and fly right. You ain't never flew a day in your life, but you did that day. Somebody said, your mama say fly right. And you got to keep praising him. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Something about your praise. Them little seven deacons from the First Apostolic Church of Snow White. They had an answer for it. They said, we're going to whistle while we work. We're going to sing a little tune. And they did. They were just cool. You know, three or four of them had a GED. And one, two of them had been to college, you know. And the other one rode a small bus his whole life. They'd cover for him all the time. He couldn't even get his clothes to fit him. But he just singing there like the rest of them. And when that gal showed up, them boys said, you know, the Lord are good. Amen. But you gotta be praising. Hurt's going to come, children. It's going to happen. But you got somebody. And he knows everything about you. They that wait upon the Lord, be patient. Moses says, stand still, be poised. And then the psalm writer comes along and said, I'm just going to sing my way out of this. Amen. God bless you today. If you're standing in this room, well, you'll be standing when I ask you to stand. I guess I got ahead of myself. Let's stand on our feet together. Amen. I'm ready to go. I know you're ready to go too. But if you're standing here today, And you have a hurt. And maybe today you're not hurt. Maybe today you're already in stage three of healing. But if you've ever been hurt before, and let me help you understand something. I put a little note in here that the definition of hurt is so varied that I couldn't afford to try to give you all of them today. But if you've been hurt any time in your life, and hurt comes in a lot of ways. I mentioned our brothers and sisters in Texas and Florida and the Keys and even those outlying islands. This is not a time for us to forget about their hurt. This is not a time for us to get selfish. You know, sometimes in the United States, we don't care about folk that we know. But right now, a lot of people in this world are hurting. Those islands, the place y'all like to go on y'all little cruises and vacation, well, you won't be going there no time soon. Amen. Unless you're going over there to work, because they're in bad shape. St. Martin and some of those Lee Islands, they're just in bad shape. That's a hurt. That's a way of being hurt. But there's also emotional and psychological hurts. And as we say in the body of Christ, there's no hurt like church hurt. But your hurt gonna meet your help, because you can trust in the Lord. That's what the writer declares. It says, you know, I will trust in the Lord. Solomon, that's what he said. He said, I'm gonna trust in the Lord with all my heart, and I'm gonna lean not on my own understanding. Some of the stuff that's happening don't make no sense. And you know, one of the ironies of hurt is that hurt that happens when you don't know who to blame. You don't know the source of the hurt. Covert hurt, camouflage hurt, calculating hurt. And all you know is, I'm hurt. Much like the vine dresser, the seed sower, when he comes along and people say to him, your enemies have done this? Yeah, I don't know why. How many have been in a situation where people do stuff to you and you don't know why? Amen. Two or three of y'all, okay. Rest of y'all know you get what's coming to you, right? Okay. For those of us who ain't done nothing to nobody, we don't know why this happened. I don't know why they're doing this here to me. I try to love everybody. You know, people throw that line in. I just love everybody. I don't bother nobody. Today. Okay. But I want you to know that God's going to help you. You just hold on just a little while longer. You just stay right there. Don't change God's. Don't abandon your hope. God's going to help you. The old song we sing in the church, Vicky, just simply says, my hope is built on nothing less. I trust God. Can I get an honest reply from you today? How many of you trust God? Amen. Thank you. Some folk put up two hands. God bless you. That's State Farm Trust right there, nationwide. I trust God, and I'm telling you today that your help is on the way. Writer said, I'll look to the hills, which cometh my help, knowing that my help comes from the Lord. And he throws in some good stuff by saying God got everything. He said, he's the maker of heaven and earth. He's in charge. How many know God's in charge? Amen. God's going to help you. But I need you to know today that you got to give your life to Christ. You got to. I'm saying got to because you got to. I don't know why preachers start making that sound like an option. We should have always made it sound like an obligation, because it is. You've got to give your life to Christ. If you're going to have any life at all of any value, it's going to be in Christ. Your best life is in Christ Jesus. Your only life. Because apart from him, you have nothing. So I extend to you the invitation to give your life to Christ today. We are a people with short time. Man born of a woman ain't got but a few days. And they're filled with sorrow, strife. Calamities will come. We're very fortunate here in the Commonwealth that Irma lost her strength. Harvey was beat down, but Lord knows you think we live in a city of seven hills. Well, you may be at the top of the hill, but somebody at the bottom is going to have to hold all that water. The lights will go out and the food will spoil and things we take for granted. You know, we had the derecho some years ago. We all found out what life was like in the dark ages. You throwing away freezers load of food and you can't take a shower and all that kind of stuff. We found out. Just the wind could change our lives. That's all it was, wind, just a big windstorm. And we would call around and ask folk, your water on? Your light still on? And see, the problem is we had made ends with so many folk that we couldn't call but two, three folk. But see, if you had friends, you could call around and say, we got lights out here in the boondocks. Well, I'm on my way to the boondocks. See, you used to talk about the people, oh, that way out there, child, I wouldn't drive that far. You were glad to make that trip. Y'all got food? Yeah, we got food. Okay. Look out the window. Who told him to come over here? If your neighbor's begging bread, you give him bread. But if you've not accepted Jesus Christ today, I want to give you that opportunity. Please accept Christ today. I've taken up too much of your time, but I just need you to know that if you're hurting, you're going to have some help, but your help is in Christ. I know your brothers and sisters are reliable people, but your hope is in the Lord. So if you have not accepted Jesus Christ, you ought to come today. You ought to give Christ your life. He gave you life. Sacrificed his life for your life. You ought to come today. God bless you, my brother. Come on and bless the Lord. Thank you. Amen. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Amen. This is Brother Haynes, y'all. When I saw him come in this morning, I said to myself, there's something special about that fella. Amen. Okay. Ron is your brother. No, you specialer than that. No. But there was a look about you today, a look of expectation. Amen. I'm glad you're standing here right now. We're all glad you're standing here right now. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Thank you, sir. Come on, let's praise God together. Amen. Brother Haynes is coming today as an effort of restoration, that his life and Christ's life would be merged together again, afresh. His brother is the Reverend Haynes, and the more I look at you, the more I realize you are the blessed seed in the family. And I'll tell him I said that myself. But thank you so much. But you fine fellow, your brother is. This is our chairman of deacons, Deacon Davis, our chairman of finance, Deacon McKenzie, our life coordinator, Deacon Walker, and our deacon all around and security guy carrying the pistol when I need him, Deacon Anderson. Amen. These are our brothers. We got brothers all around. Brother Beverly's over there. We got all the brothers. Darren, Brother Darren's back there. Brother Eric. We got a mix of everything here. But thank you, man, for trusting us with this redemptive work in your life. And we'll be here for you, whatever you need us to do. Listen, as these brothers are with me, God bless. Come on, let's praise God. I know you want to praise God. Amen. Amen. Come on, Jada. Come on, Christian. Amen. Bible. We're getting ready to leave. I've taken up way too much of y'all time today. Our choir's got to get going. But I'm very proud today of Christian Anderson and Sister Jada Haynes. I'm very proud of both of these young people. Amen. When you get old, your nose will run too. This is something we do, and it means a lot to me. I know they may have their Bibles already, and that's wonderful, but it means a lot to me as pastor to give them what we like to think is their first Bible. And it may not be because you're all in good homes, a good family. Your mother's a jewel. Your parents are jewels in our ministry as well. And I know that they have spoken this word into your life already, but these are your Bibles from the Greater Brookville Church family, and we got one with a little girl. Got one little dude flavor, earth tones, you know, shovel in the yard and all. Get used to it. It's going to happen. But the certificate is something we give you, and you can put it on your wall, get you a nice little frame. I'm going to come by your house in 2 weeks to make sure it's hanging on the wall. If it's not, it's going to be trouble. You'll be on punishment or something. I don't know. But don't throw them away. I've got my baptism. My mama's got it, really. My mother. Oh, if we're going to take pictures, let me know. Be poised, remember? Okay, ready? Don't y'all wish y'all was a pastor? But those are really just little mementos. But what I will say to you today is that you have a church family now. You got your family, but now you have a church family. And our responsibility we take rather seriously. Dixon, one of our associate ministers, the deacons and the like, and the trustees and all. Those are just titles. They mean nothing if we don't serve you. If we're not there to answer your questions and to demonstrate to you what Christian discipleship looks like, you hold us accountable for loving people and for being a family to a family. And if we're not there and we don't do it like you think, if it makes you wonder, why don't folk act like that, say something to us so we can act better. This church will one day belong to you. As much as it always will belong to the Lord, you will take stewardship value to this church. And it is our responsibility to train you up so when your time comes, someday you'll be over the choir or in the choir. Someday you'll be a deacon or a preacher. You got a preacher's look. All we gotta do is get you a little something in the dressing up department, and I think we got you. Yeah, but you're fine. Look, I like that shirt that preachers look. But we wanna be there for you. So part of our responsibility is to develop, strengthen, and discipline the lives of those persons who have come to us. And it says right there, through biblical training and spiritual principles. We're not gonna fill your mind with foolishness. You can do that in the world. You on Facebook? No, you on Facebook? You got a smartphone? You got a smartphone? Let him hold your phone. No, but your friends are, you know, you get your friends call you and talk to you. They foolishness. Everybody out here does foolishness. But our responsibility is to do that spiritual stuff. And we'll laugh here. Deacon Walker in the Young Life, as I told you, meet him, and y'all gonna, you know, you take some trips once we fix the air conditioning in the van and get a new one. Y'all can go places. We like to go places. You know, we can go to Carowinds and King's Dominion, all that kind of stuff. And the pastor get to go. That's why I like y'all to go places, because then I get to go and ride a roller coaster. That's life. That's fun. But the spiritual things, paramount. Train up the child. That's what the Bible says. It's in your Bible. And we're not going to always treat you like children. Someday you'll be young adults, and we'll give you more, and you'll give back more. But please let us be there for you when you have questions and concerns. Sometimes, you know, you don't want to talk to mom and dad, and you just want to ask a question. Why do preachers say that, or why does the church do that? That's what we're here for. And so let us be that for you. And then we'll ask you to be some stuff for us, and we'll make a mutual understanding all the way home. God bless both of you today. Thank you so very much for trusting your life with us in Christ Jesus. And we pray that we will always be just what you need your church to be. And if you ever leave us, bring back our Bible and stuff. No. Thank y'all so much. Mom, Dad, family, thank y'all so much for trusting them with us today. Church folk, I want you to come by and shake their hand, hug them. Get at somebody to hold, because they're going to squeeze you and love on you for just a few more minutes, and we're going to be on our way home. Amen. If you're here today, you can give that over. If you're here today, again, if you've not accepted Jesus Christ, you ought to come. Second thing I would say to you is, if you're looking for a church home, we're here. We want to be your church home. We have a simple agenda. And we believe today that you help us fulfill that agenda. If we can't be, and we are not, all of those things that we say we intend to be, you have every right to say, wait a minute, church. No song that you sang back home. Get right, church. And then get ready to go on. But I pray, God, that if you're looking for a church home, that you'll consider being a part of our family. And I do want to tell you today that God still loves you. No matter what you've done wrong, no matter how many mistakes you've made, God will restore you and make it all right. Amen. We got how many restored folk in the room today? Yeah, we didn't always get it right, but God kept his promise. Amen. Grab somebody's hand across the aisles and move around if you want to, and hold somebody's hand today as we get ready to pray. Brother Haynes, come on up. We want you to be at the front today and pray with you and pray for you. Amen. Our brothers are grabbing hands all over the room today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Look at your neighbor very quickly and say this simply to them. Neighbor, the God of your salvation will hear and answer your every prayer. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're praying today in celebration for Christian and Jada and for Brother Haynes. We're praying in celebration, Lord, because the kingdom is growing. The enemy is confused and upset. But, Lord, we're celebrating. We're laughing at him, mocking him, because we know that you're still winning, because the Lord is able. And, God, we pray for Brother Haynes' life. We pray, God, that you will, again, journey with him along the road of redemption, revival, and restoration. Oh, God, it's good to know that we can come back home and that you will meet us with a rich welcome. Thank you for these young people, and thank you for their families. Thank you for these who thought it not robbery to hang around a little while today. As, Lord, we are lifting up and magnifying your name. We have not forgotten our brothers and sisters in Florida and Texas, Louisiana, all over this great country of ours. And, Lord, we're praying for the brothers and sisters in Great Britain. We're praying, God, for those who would take the mind to be suicide bombers and to bring destruction and mayhem upon innocent lives. But, Lord, we know you're greater than that. And so, God, we're going to keep our trust in you. We're going to keep believing that the day is coming when the earth and all of its glory will be lifted up toward the kingdom of God and sing one praise with one voice, making one sound to the great and awesome God who is everything. And so, God, we thank you today, again, for these young people, for their families. We thank you for our guests. We pray special blessings upon those who sojourn through this area today. Pray, God, that whatever they're looking for, they will find it first in Christ and then, Lord, serve in your church. Oh, God, give the choir traveling mercies today. Bless our drivers. Bless those who are riding along with us. Bless those who just offer a ride as we travel along the way to Zion. And, God, we pray that we will serve you in all the glory that is due your name. Father, we ask for the forgiveness of our sin, for every mercy. Thank you, Lord, for those who are sick among us and yet have pressed their way today. We pray for Brother Tim McCoy. We pray for Sister Penn. We pray for Brother Jesse, Sister Roy. Got a great report. We pray for Sister Hayes and for Sister Nowlin, for Sister Cobb, and for Sister, Ware. We're praying, God, that you'll just touch all of those who need a touch. And we're praying, God, that the day will come when they will stand up with a shout and say, my God did it. We pray, God, for Sister Muriel. We pray, God, it's good to see her pressing her way. Lord, we know that she wants to be here. And when she is, what a difference she makes. And so, God, bless all of us now as we turn from this place, but not your presence. Thank you for our guests, our visitors, no strangers here. And we pray, God, that you will give us all this day, that we'll bring you a greater glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, come on by and shake these young folk hand. Come on by and shake Brother Haynes' hand. Come on, and then you can go on about your business. God bless you. What a fellowship. What a